Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced at NASCAD University. This episode is entitled Zaw.
It's gotta be melted.
It's gotta be melted.
Yeah. It's fondue.
Okay.
Like, day old pizza is not pizza. Like, if it's cold.
Wait,
it's
what? It becomes reheated.
It becomes pizza again when you reheat it in the microwave.
But that's disgusting.
I'm so angry so wrong. Right now.
You should never reheat pizza the next day.
I always reheat pizza the next day. I love
wrong.
That. I prefer
wrong
that.
Choice.
Too.
Both are good. I think, depending on my mood, I'll reheat pizza or I'll eat it cold the next day. And usually I prefer it cold, but like, it's. I don't think that it's objectively wrong to reheat pizza the next day.
Nothing is objectively wrong. Everyone can make their own decisions.
It's the only objective truth in this world, I think, actually.
One.
There's one, and it's about this specific situation with reheating pizza. However, the cold pizza is still pizza.
It's better.
The
it's
real
better.
Question is, better. At what it's point better. Does the cheese become pizza as it's melting?
In fact, I would argue that you should get pizza and you should put it in the fridge and you shouldn't eat it until the next morning. And then it's really pizza. I would go as far as
you know. You know I don't mean to do bad things. But I can't help. I can't help to wrench, help to want to lose. To the wretched. Give in. Give in, that's what they say. Say it to who? They say it to you, sobbing. Sobbing on the street. The street of a summer night. In that moment, you. You were honest. The only time you were honest. It was a mishap. Now you are foul. But sobbing on the street, you were honest. Can't help, help but wrench at wretched you, who, sobbing in the street, were honest.
Morning, Mrs. Giles.
She methodologically dips her hand up and down. As if sewing with needle and thread. An elegant gesture. Delicate in its execution. Her turquoise jacket somehow seems uneasy on her shoulders. The sparrow-like nose. The acute edges of her face. Her blonde hair. Comb to one side. Lost in thought, she stares across the room and out the window. The hand continuing to dip up diluting the tea to an ever more darker state. She glances down. There's hardly any change in her owl-like stare. What was she doing there? Where did she come from? And why would she sit just here? Her glasses rested on her head, hidden behind her hair, more like a decorative element than serving any function. Her dark blue trousers, her slightly heeled shoes, decorated with cheap pearls and white stars. She suddenly rose, beamed out of the room, as if being chased. She quickly dumped her tray remains in the disposable bin and jumped out the front door. She sprung down the street as if being chased by a pack of stray dogs. Perhaps it was the tea that gave her this overambitious energy to gallop. She might have strengthened it slightly over the top with a repetitive dipping. The beastly glare of the downtrodden corporate official devouring a mayonnaise chicken sandwich, cowering across the visiting elderly tourist, and the wanting to be inconspicuous man in the corner, shadowing the still life of Vincent Walsh.
Charcuterie board with any like stretchy cheese just be
what's gonna be
a
melted
pizza board?
If it's melted cheese
okay, so it's melted cheese as an appetizer.
That's more like a pizza than a flatbread.
Does it have to be in like a triangular slice
format? You have square pizzas, you have like
what about like a ball of mozzarella?
That's pretty good. If it's melted it's okay. The thing that people get really angry is like grilled cheese is a pizza.
No,
cheese is a type of pizza.
You just called it grilled cheese.
What is a type of pizza?
That's
for me, grilled cheese is basically a pizza.
Ooh.
Grilled cheese is a type of pizza. You know?
Ooh, I just...
Grilled cheese is a type of pizza.
A real Todd, he thought to himself, staring out of his kitchen window, down at the pigeons plucking at the piles of rubber. Wonder what they're getting their peaks greasy with. Maybe they've managed to get into that big tub of mayonnaise that's been standing there for the past week. Or two. On Monday, there lay an assemblage of sweet wrappers across the rules below the bins. While having his eyes glued to the window, he began to think of that odd incident that happened 2 days ago. Alright. It's Wednesday, then, because today is Friday. And it was rather cloudy, but it's still quite airy in the air. Early spring was arriving, colouring the neighbourhood and lightly perfuming the wind. He was walking and thinking, seemingly very focused and well-mannered. But the thoughts that played on his mind caught him off guard, so to say, and had him almost trip over his own feet. Luckily, two large herrings swooped in, straightened him out, and comforted his feet. And his left toe wiggled. Trembling with delight,
like, you know that it's not.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think
like,
that...
Let's take a list of other things in our pizza.
Oh no, this is a dangerous game.
Like, eggplant parmigiana is a pizza.
So you keep giving it other names, the correct names.
They're types of pizzas.
No. There's no... Like,
no.
A pizza umbrella goes from, like...
How do you justify the fact that a slice of eggplant with melted cheese on top is not a pizza? How do you...
It's not a pizza.
That's a pizza.
No, so confident. There needs to be a crust, and it needs to be a certain kind of crust.
Yeah.
Flatbread is not a pizza. It's like pizza-like, really, but it's not pizza.
I'm really actually angry. You always think that's amusing. I feel like you're actually angry about it.
I think I'm just feeling really sick.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I think that,
I think the eggplant with cheese on top meets all of those criteria.
And I've heard this debate now so many times.
I'm actually sick of it.
Have you, like, gone to... Have you,
no, I'm not
have you been to
wrong.
Italy before? Would you,
yes,
would you bring this up?
Yes, I have been to Italy.
No, I'm talking about Ross.
So I'm not saying like, the universal definition... I'm not talking about the universal definition of pizza.
Yeah,
I'm saying if you're talking
definition.
To me and you say come over for pizza, if there's no cheese involved, it's not a pizza.
But he'll get angry because
you
invited him over.
You know
what?
I'm less upset by you thinking... that a pizza without cheese isn't a pizza. That, whatever, that's fine. I disagree, but it's fine. I'm upset by you saying that just a piece of melted cheese with nothing else is a pizza.
Because they had to go to the extreme.
I'm just saying, I've had halloumi that's fried, that's more like a pizza.
Yeah,
it's more like a pizza than bread with sauce.
Halloumi is great.
It reminds you of the best.
Yeah. It's, for me, if somebody's like, come on the pizza, and they give me a slice of fried cheese, I would be satisfied.
Listening to the hives from the outside, it has an oozing kind of sound when it's closed. When you open the hive, you can actually tell what the noise is. The bees are actually buzzing around on the inside.
When you start to take out the frames and they're covered in honey and bees, you kind of got like a adrenaline. You did get an adrenaline rush, but almost like a high, almost.
And you're exceptionally careful. It was testy. I was uncomfortable. I was afraid. My anxiety was up. I mean, I've been stung by bees before, and it wasn't a pleasant feeling.
And I was pleasantly surprised when I noticed how calm they were. They didn't react badly at all.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like this perceived thing that bees are mean, like bad. So I was definitely surprised by how gentle and nice they were.
Quickly, we became very comfortable with the bees, and all we'll go into the hives with is the mask over our faces.
I wouldn't even zip up my coat because I would be like continuously taking off the hood to take the honey right from whatever and just lick it right off the tool.
The first harvest we did, it had almost like a flowery aftertaste.
The honey we tasted up there, you could actually taste the fields.
I guess you're kind of like parenting the bees, right? So, yeah, mentally it just gets you away from being in here. It makes you stop missing things so much that you do miss.
I mean, to reflect back to my personal life, the bees each have a purpose. They embrace their responsibilities at the various stages of their lives. And had I done the things I was supposed to have done, I wouldn't have been in prison.
Well, by being in prison, you definitely step back from your life and you see where you went wrong in the past, but you also get to just see what really matters.
The hardest part about prison is being away from family, right? Like, I had an aunt pass away while I've been in, so I'll never see her again, right? Never got to say goodbye, right? So, I mean, a family thing is a huge thing for a lot of guys, right?
You're alone in here, and everything you do is you're doing for yourself, not for anybody else. You don't see a common purpose in here. Everyone in prison has their own agenda. Everything is segmented. It's a minimum security with a prison firm just starting up again. It's been inactive for many years. As far as programming goes, this was the first farm type work.
I just seen the program there and I've been taking pretty much everything I can in here, try and kill my time, right?
We used to go down there every 10 to 15 days.
It was probably only about an hour or two, and we would just inspect the hive, look for the queen bee, look for any pests.
Having been incarcerated for a while, I wanted something to escape too. I find working in the farm, especially working with the bees, it's kind of therapeutic, take you away from the day-to-day things that are going on in prison, and, you know, brings you back to nature, to the basics.
The other people that were involved, the volunteer, Sam, she just made the program to kind of see how communities and bees go together.
For us inmates, some of us, I guess, kind of relied on ourselves too much and didn't ask for help when we should ask for help. And make a couple bad decisions, and now you're in prison, right?
Before I came to prison, I was all about me. You know, I want to have the most money. I want to have the best job. I want to, you know, do everything flamboyantly. Now I realize life is not about me only. There are other people who are involved. Life is about society. Life is about, you know, choices we make. And, you know, it's about the legacy that we'll live.
It's probably a very naive thought to have, but I would love to see people come together more for a common purpose. It makes sense.
If we could somehow, as human beings, work more like the bees work and come together and accomplish things, it's always productive and effective, and I think we kind of need to sometimes step back and look at the bigger picture.
Overall, the program was one of the most eye-opening activities I've done in my years of incarceration, because it allowed me to see that I can still have a purpose.
Well, I want my own hive now when I get out. That's what I find rewarding, is I've learned something new that I enjoy. It could be a new hobby for me, right? So keep me out of trouble.
Well, I know that the bees, like, 1 second, 1 second of our time is like 9,000 seconds of their time or something. Hopefully, once I get out, I can be more like the bee time and everything will slow down so I can make memories with my family and stuff.
I can't help but wrench at wretched you who, sobbing in the street, were honest. Was a mishap. Now you are foul. I can't help but sobbing on the street. Help but wrench, you were honest. At wretched you, it was a mishap. Sobbing in the street, but sobbing on the street to the wretched, you were honest. Give in. It was a mishap. That's what they say. Now you are foul. Say sobbing on the street to the wretched, you were honest. Give in. It was a mishap. Give in. That's what they say. Now you are foul. But sobbing on the street to the wretched, honest. Give in. I can't help to wrench. Give in, that's what they help say. Help to want. Want to say it to who? To the wretched. Give in. I can't help to wrench. Give in, that's what they
help
say.
Help to want.
Want to
say it to who?
To but the I can't wretched. Help. Give in. I can't help to wrench.
Give in, that's what they say.
Help to want. Want to lose. But I can't help. I can't help to wrench, help to want to lose, you know, but I can't help, you know I don't mean, I don't mean to do bad things,
You know I don't mean it. I don't mean to do
that. Wait a minute.
I know. But on the bread, the thin, you know, like really thin.
I don't like the bread and pizza.
Yes, I do. So that's the thing. So you're
I'm not arguing for universal definition of pizza. I'm just saying for me.
Yes, you're picking the best part, the thing that you love, and then you're like alone.
I'm saying it's the only part I love, and it's the only part that's important.
Hold on. What about?
You're just cheese-splaining it.
What about fondue? Is that pizza?
Fondue can be pizza.
No.
It can be pizza. If you dip a piece of bread in fondue, it's pizza.
If you dip a pizza dough and then put other toppings on, then it's a very creative
It's just something you like. That's it. It's not pizza.
I'm saying, if somebody came to me and said it was pizza, I would be like, okay, yeah, I agree.
It's just the part that you like. It's just what you said.
I'm saying it's the only part that's important.
Because this is what you like. But you can't just give it the label because it's the only part that you like of it. You're not, it's like I'm saying I love strawberry cheesecake and then, like, you take away the cheesecake and it's just strawberries, but it reminds me of cheesecake. So I would argue
if that was the only important part of cheesecake, then you could still call it a cheesecake. And if I invited you over for strawberry cheesecake and there was no strawberries in it,
no.
Okay.
But you couldn't call it. I might be pissed off, but you couldn't call it cheesecake. If it was just strawberries, and you took away the cheesecake, and the strawberries were the only part of it that I liked that made it strawberries and made it cheesecake, and then you took away the strawberries, or like you took away the cheesecake, I couldn't call strawberries strawberry cheesecake.
You could. No. I am arguing you could.
Okay, so what you're arguing is to redefine everything based off of the thing that you love the most.
My argument is that words is understanding of words is subjective to your life experience.
Right, now we're getting to it, yes.
For me, well, I was born in Mumbai, and I was there till I was 4 years old, and then my parents moved to Calcutta, which is where I ended up growing up, and I changed schools a couple of times, and then finally when I was in the second grade, like, school back home kind of works the way that private schools do here. You're in the same school from like pre-nursery to grade 12. So when I was in the second grade, I came to the school that I ended up graduating from. I had a really close group of friends, and at home, I do have an older brother, and he was in boarding school. He was in and out of the house a lot because he was in boarding school, and then he went away to university, but my brother and I are really, really close. And my paternal grandmother lived with us, and she kind of raised me in many ways because my dad was at work, and my mom decided to go back to work part-time, and then she decided to go back to school as well while she was working. So my grandma would be at home, and she would kind of like care for me and love me, and I'm so grateful to her for everything that she did. And Cal was really, really great, and I think that was kind of the place where the house that I grew up in was like, my parents got married in that house, and my aunt got married in that house, and that house is basically everything. And that was the place that I kind of found myself and found what I love to do and really be the person that I wanted to see myself being. And then my grandmother passed away when I was 12. She had cancer, and that was really, it was hard because I felt like I kind of distanced myself from her unconsciously before she passed away to, I guess, make it easier for myself. And then after she passed away, my parents got separated. And it was really weird because they had been together for like 23 years, and they were separated for 2 years, and then they got divorced in 2012. And I didn't realize how much of an impact that had on me as a person. I think it kind of brought in with me a kind of sense of maybe I need to do things to fix stuff. And like, it kind of brought a sense of I'm not good enough to keep everything together. And it was only after I came to university that I became a lot closer to my parents individually as people and started seeing them as human beings as opposed to just my parents. And I realized how much of an impact that their separation had on me in terms of me developing anxiety and depression and that type of stuff. Once I came to Canada, I moved to school actually for psych and crim, and then I realized that I didn't want to do criminology anymore, and I realized that business can be social and I love social business. And after coming here, I kind of dealt with the fact that I do have issues like anxiety and depression, and I need to find ways to cope with those on my own that are outside of my identity of who my family is and the impact that they've had on my life. But yeah, it's going, life's going.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Life's going. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Between,
I don't mind this.
There's no parallel between.
No, I find that more of a funny question because is it a soup or a cereal? Sorry, is cereal a soup or a salad?
You're
implies that it's one or the other.
Wrong answers.
For me, they're both right answers, but also it implies that you assume else. That somebody has a strong preference for one or the other. But the really like interesting intellectual idea behind it is that it's like talking about how if the quantity of milk can make it into a dressing or a broth.
Who has a ratio of more cereal to milk than...
I do.
Oh, sometimes. Oh. Sometimes it's
just yeah, then it's more like a salad. And if it's more brothy, then it's more of a soup.
That does make sense to me. Yeah. I've just never experienced, unless it's a deal of like a mistake or right. I've consumed most of
so the correct
the
answer
milk.
To the question would have been it's a soup.
Soup. Yeah, I definitely know. When you said it, I thought about soup first. I thought that is the logical parallel.
Yeah.
But it still did, just because I associate it more with soup, does not make it a soup.
And so soups are also vegetarian smoothies, yeah. Vegetable smoothies, savory smoothies, right? Because like, you just
sometimes.
Blend, sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah.
And but, I think if people call them the
well, there's a name
savory.
For that too. There's a name for, what are those?
What is it?
Kind of like, it can be fruit-based or tomato-based and they're cold
yes.
soups.
Yes.
Oh, gazpacho.
Gazpacho, yeah. Gazpacho is
aim to do everything. It's like 5 minutes or less.
It's also pizza.
It's also the part you love the most. If you could call, you could say this is basically eating pizza. Is that the only part that was important? Totally, you could say that.
Oh, I did too. So yeah,
I'm not saying universally it should be redefined. I'm saying my experience.
I was trying out a new recipe and
there's no cheese involved. I'd be like,
it was expected that I was gonna cut my finger. It didn't work out. I mean, it was fine.
Depends how politely
it is. Cooking show.
And now for a small interlude.
What about, a cardboard cutout or a depiction of, say, through art, a pizza, like a drawing of a pizza, a painting, or a cartoon of a pizza, like maybe digital format. Is that a pizza? Cecinepa and pizza?
So I think I can recognize the abstract concept of pizza in many different forms, even if it does not include cheese. But it doesn't make it a pizza. I can't eat it.
No? It has to be edible?
Well, it's like, it's a depiction of a pizza.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced at NASCAD University. This episode was entitled Za. It featured contributions by Ross Unger, Gemma Leslie, Sophia Lillimore, Lucian Easton, Devin Chambers, Aidan McMahon, and Aaron Knowles. Sound editing and sound design were by David Clark. Nothing to See Here is produced by David Clark at NASCAD University in Halifax. For more episodes, please search for Nothing to See Here Radio on SoundCloud.com.